Mmm, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Hey, Mind Pump listeners, go to mindpumpradio.com where you can check out the MAPS Anabolic Workout Program and the Nutrition Survival Guide, both available at a massive discount. Mindpumpradio.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
All right, welcome to Mind Pump. This is the fitness show with a heart.
Oh, stop it, bro.
Does that make you uncomfortable?
No, I just want something like funny or that was
I don't
weird.
Like I don't like when you get sensitive. I like when you do things like cock-a-doodle-doo.
I feel like my estrogen levels just like rise up there.
Where did I get a heart?
Yeah.
Where'd he go, Sal? There goes another 500 listeners.
All right, so I'm this is Sal DiStefano. I'm here with Adam Schaefer.
Woo, woo.
And Justin Andrews.
I'm here.
He's here. I want to talk about, now, this is a good subject because more recently, we've talked about this in a previous episode. We talked about how the government was reversing or getting ready to reverse its stance on cholesterol or dietary cholesterol.
Yeah. Yes.
And I predict, maybe not now, but in the future, in the near future, that they will also reverse what they've said about saturated fat.
Yeah.
About, you know, how it's bad for you.
In relation to, like, omega-6, like, vegetable oils and all that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah, because...
Look at the difference between...
Yeah, because for the longest time, what have we been told about saturated fats? Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. It's so closely related to the cholesterol thing, too. And what we have found, it's the living in a surplus for a long period of time that's going to put all this bad weight. It's all the bad weight that's starting to clog arteries and do things like that. It's not the things that are in the food. If you eat anything in moderation or living in a deficit... That stuff is getting utilized.
That's
getting
a lot of it. Yeah,
And all the positive things, like I know you're gonna get nerdy and label them all off for saturated fat, but all these things, without even you going off, I can tell you right now, there's a lot of benefits from saturated fats that we get, and it's something that you wouldn't want to cut out of your diet, so it needs to be in your diet. It's just that you got to be careful because it's dense. You know, it's a lot of calories. So obviously, if you sat down and ate bacon and ribeye steaks all day long, like you get to your your surplus. Really
well,
fast.
Dude. So for the longest time, and I'm going to go into that, by the way, what you just said. But for the longest time, we've heard that there, first of all, fat is bad, and then it changed, and then they said there's good fats and bad fats.
Yeah.
Right. But and which is true, HDLs, there are bad fats.
And LDLs.
There are bad fats. However, it's not the ones that they're saying. Because what do they say that are bad fats? Saturated. And they say the good fats are olive oil.
Animal fats is what they
say. Monosaturated, polyunsaturated fats are good, and saturated fats are bad.
Right.
And at the moment, the official guideline is that you consume less than 10% of your diet. Less than 10% of your fats should be saturated. Mm-hmm. Is what they're saying, but. Some more recent studies have just come out that have completely blown that out of the fucking water.
Yeah.
Completely blown it out of the water. I've got some written down here I want to kind of go over a little bit. Well, first and foremost, when it comes to saturated fat, better studies have come out, and they've done these huge metadata studies, which are basically where they compile all these studies together done on saturated fat. They tease out the controls, and they analyze all of them. So these huge metadata studies are awesome to look at because they look at so many different studies. And so a lot of times you get the truth out of that easier than you would with an individual study that maybe missed a control or maybe had a small sample size, for example. And what they found was that saturated fat intake was not connected to heart disease at all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was not.
They had to retract that. I read that in another study.
Yeah. Before we go on, we should kind of talk about what a saturated fat is.
Uh-huh.
You know, so saturated fats are found mostly in animal proteins.
Yeah, mostly animal related.
Animal. You can get them vegetable sources. Coconut oil, palm oil has saturated fats. A saturated fat is a fat that contains saturated fatty acids, which basically mean it's got no double bonds. It's saturated with hydrogen atoms. So there's nothing available. It's full of hydrogen atoms. So that's what a saturated fat is. So enough of that extremely nerdy stuff. There were studies in the past that were really bad studies that showed that saturated fats were bad for you. However, I'm going to go over some of those. So there was a study where, and a lot of these were animal studies, and they used rabbits for whatever reason.
Because we're so much like rabbits, right?
Yeah.
Rabbits are herbivores. What do you think is going to happen if you take a plant-eating animal and you feed them a shitload of saturated fat and cholesterol? Right? Something bad.
That's why I love all these old studies back then. Because you know why, dude? People just got to understand this, like especially studies back then. So many of them were written and geared to be biased for a reason. There was a desired outcome of that study. They wanted to show you that it looked bad because guess what? Whoever was having that study paid for more than likely was tied to somewhere that was making money off this new campaign that we were about to do with saturated fats. Mm-hmm. Do not be fooled, people.
Well, check this out. So you're going to love this. So I was doing a lot of research on this subject. It's a subject that I find I'm very passionate about. Mm-hmm. And there's a few studies that indicate a correlation, which, by the way, correlation does not mean causation. So I'll give you an example. Every time it rains, the 49ers tend to win, for example. This is not true, but I'm just saying. That doesn't mean that the rain is somehow making them win.
Directly affecting it.
Right. Or if it rains somewhere else. Or, for example, when, every time I wash my car, it rains. That doesn't mean I'm causing it to rain. It's just a correlation. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean they're connected. But anyhow, when they find the few studies that do show a correlation between reducing your fat intake and reducing coronary heart disease, first and foremost, the reduction is very small. However, they don't ever make it sound like it's small. So let me give you an example. Let's say you have a 1% chance of dying from doing something, and then you change that to doing something else, and now you have a 2% chance. There's two ways I could say, I could talk about that. One is doing this new thing will increase your chance of death by 1%. The other way is by saying it doubles the risk.
Yeah. Sounds crazier, right?
Sounds crazier. So a lot of these studies will do that. So it'll be like a 2% difference and they'll say, oh, it's 20% more, which sounds a lot, but it's really not. However, when you look at these studies, they don't tell you the full story. And what you find is that these low-fat diets, even in these studies that show a small correlation between lower fat intake and better heart health, also have an increase, you're going to love this, in deaths from cancer, brain hemorrhages, suicide, and violent deaths. So if you actually look at overall mortality, you actually live longer. And most of these studies show that you live longer if you eat more fats. Isn't that great?
Oh, that's great.
I love that.
Such a crazy, yeah.
I love that kind of stuff. So
contradiction.
So in 2012, researchers at the Norwegian University of Science and Technology, they looked at the health and lifestyle habits of more than 52,000 adults between 20 and 74. So this is a huge study, huge sample size. And what they found was, there's our mascot. And this has to do with cholesterol. What they found was that women with high cholesterol, which is higher than 270 milligrams per, in terms of blood cholesterol.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, anything over 200, a doctor will usually try and prescribe a drug to you to lower it, right? So that's high cholesterol. Mm. They had a 28% lower mortality risk than women with low cholesterol.
Oh, wow.
So that there's your cholesterol run right there. In 2013, there's a prominent London cardiologist. His name is Asim Malhotra. And he argued in the British Medical Journal that you should ignore the advice to reduce saturated fat intake because he says it's actually increasing your risk for obesity and heart disease. And they did do a massive study. And you were talking about how excess calories make you fat, which is true. However, calories are not all equal, and we're discovering that more and more.
Yeah. Calorie is not a calorie is not a calorie.
No, and they take these huge studies where they take two groups of people and they say, okay, we don't want you to watch your calories, but what we want to do with this group is you eat a low-fat diet, and this group over here, we want you to eat a low-carb diet. And then they follow them for like 5 years. Hmm. The low-carb diet, people always lose more weight and have better markers of health all the way around.
Yeah.
And if you look at like American history, when we went on our low-fat craze, which kind of kicked off in the 60s, 70s, and really got popular in the 80s, what happened to obesity and heart disease in America?
Oh, jacked up, man.
Exploded.
Yeah. Well, to me, it's kind of obvious with that one, too, that when you think about it, if you're low-carb, and this is where the calories, not a calorie is a calorie,
right.
when you're taking in carbohydrates, it's going to directly affect your blood sugar levels. And when it affects your blood sugar levels, now you're messing with insulin. And when insulin's present in the body, it puts you in a state of storing. So your body is primed for storing. So let's say you weren't on a high, you're on the low fat diet, but you're on the high carb meal. Well, high carb shoots your blood sugar out, then your insulin. So then your body, even though you might be eating within the same calories, but your body is primed to store now. It's ready to store. Where the flip is true on the people that are in the high fats and low carb. They're low carbs, so they're keeping their blood sugar levels significantly low. So even though when they go to eat this steak and they had previously just ate maybe, you know, a half hour before that, their levels are not as elevated as somebody who just slammed, you know, 400 calories worth of carbohydrates.
Well, that's exactly what they're finding, is it's these excess carbohydrates, these processed carbohydrates. And by the way, there are fats that are bad for you.
I was going to kind of mention, as far as like the vegetable oils and why that really is bad for you, and why, you know, these types of fats are something to really be the ones to consider eliminating.
Well, so. it's the highly processed vegetable oils like corn oil, canola oil,
cotton seeds, has no business flour in your diet. No business. There's no reason to have that shit. You can do with that.
They have to heat it to extreme temperatures just to extract the oil from it to begin with.
And that's what makes it bad.
And then they have to bleach it. They have to degum it. They have to, you know, strip it of all these things just to get that clarity in the oil. And what are you left with at that point?
Right. Yeah. If you want, it's
not natural.
If you want to consume vegetable fats, then they need to be available in natural form, like olive oil. So like if you take an olive and squeeze it, oil comes out. Coconut oil, very healthy. Palm oil, very healthy. Those are both saturated fats, by the way. You know, fats in avocados and nuts and whatnot. Those are all healthy. But what I was going to say is, I don't know if you guys knew this, but Sweden, the country of Sweden, officially changed its national guidelines for diet. They now recommend a high-fat, low-carbohydrate diet. This is their national guideline because they found that the other way around was causing more illness, more death, more cancer, more mortality. So they're saying, no, eat butter, eat red meat, eat your heavy creams, you know, eat the fatty foods. Don't eat lots of the starches, lots of the processed foods, lots of those types of things.
Well, I'm sure their farming industry is a little different than ours out here, too.
Oh, we have a huge wheat industry.
Subsidized programs here that are just killing our health.
Massive
programs. And that's the reason why, it goes back to what we said earlier about how you guys are going to get misinformation forever. That's never going away.
That's the fight that we're always going to fight.
It's what we're all about and why we do what we do right now is that we're just here to yell the truth. And let me make this clear, too. Sal's talking about, and we're all agreeing on this, too, how important saturated fat is in diet. This doesn't mean that we're telling you go have five meals tomorrow that are all steak with butter on top of it because, you know, technically those things are really good for you. Because that's not an ideal. Because going back to your being in a calorie surplus, you're not. You also want to balance and live in a deficit. And you don't want to overdo it. So
but anything in excess is not going to be a good idea.
Right, water.
Broccoli.
Yeah, you need water. Well, guess what happens if you drink too much water? You die.
Yeah, you'll die.
Your cells will drown. That's a fact.
And also, broccoli strip out iodine.
Also, don't be fooled too by we were saying saturated fats are good. So then if you flip flip a Big Mac burger around and you see that it's high in saturated fat, that's not what we're talking about either. Because there's a bunch of shit that's also inside
The processed and the preservatives and oh my god, whatever the fuck else that they've made in the lab.
If you get your saturated fat from like, you know, grass-fed beef, whole eggs,
there it is.
From, you know, whole dairy, but you know,
it's the corn-fed that's an issue, man.
Yeah, it changes the fatty acid profiles.
They get sick, you know, they have to pump them with antibiotics just to keep them healthy. They put them all together. I mean, it's all part of this industrial kind of complex.
Well, so I've been experimenting with this. And for those of you that follow me on Instagram, you've seen I've made a few posts about this. But you guys know what I've been doing with my diet lately.
Yeah.
So for the past, I'd say, 3-4 weeks, you know, the whole cholesterol thing came out. And so I started doing more research. I read these studies that showed that cholesterol intake increases athletic performance and health. So I dramatically bumped up my cholesterol intake. And I changed. And I'm eating much more saturated fats than I normally do. Now, my calories aren't really that different. But the breakdown.
But you're alternating
is
that though, right? You're doing it like three times a week.
Well, so here's what I'm doing. So I'm making sure to have at least 600 to 700 milligrams of cholesterol every day. But there are days where it's much higher, and there are a couple days where it's lower than that. So I've increased my cholesterol, increased my saturated fat. Holy shit! Stronger. I'm building more muscle. I'm in the gym. I'm working out. I worked out with the producer Doug the other day, and we hadn't worked out for about 2 weeks. And he's like, dude, you look crazy. Like you look bigger and you're the same, you're just as lean as you were before. And it's all from that. That's all I did was increase, do those two things. Here's something else I discovered, eggs. Eggs, I typically couldn't eat many of them because they would bother me. They'd bother my stomach. I'd have almost like an intolerance to them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the egg whites that I have an intolerance to. So I eat just the yolk. No problem whatsoever. And that's actually where all the good stuff is anyway.
But that's not, I mean, that's not everybody. That's just your own biochemistry.
That's just me.
Right?
Yeah. So, and what's funny is I did a little more research and they actually recommend egg yolks and raw egg yolks to people with gut issues.
Uh-huh.
Because it's very, very easy to digest apparently. Mm-hmm. So for those of you that have digestive issues, egg yolks are fantastic and they give you a good amount of certain fat soluble vitamins, which if you have gut issues, you probably have an issue absorbing anyway.
Right.
So it's a good idea to do that. Now, that all being said, there's a lot of healthy ways to eat because, like we've talked about in previous episodes about these blue zones, where people live to 100 and beyond, mm-hmm. there's some of these cultures that are vegetarian.
Yeah.
And so there isn't, I'm not saying that this is the only best way to do it. I think if you're going to go with natural whole foods and you're not going to overeat, you kind of can't go wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Whether you're vegetarian or whether you eat lots of...
And then just make sure you manage the prep of it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Watch all that oil and everything added in.
Well, and this is the reason why our workout programs, our nutrition guides, or we refer to them as guides and phases.
Right.
You know, it's not, this is the answer,
it's like
this is the way.
Find your own path.
Yeah, this is a guide to teach you how to do these steps. And that was the whole idea behind that. That's also why, too, you guys don't hear us talk a lot about that because we didn't do it to push it and be that way. We did it to help for those that ask. When you ask and you need help mm-hmm. and guidance and learning how to pick foods right, or you need the right steps, how you should start to build a training program.
Right.
Like that's why these phases and these guides were built.
Yeah, so. You have to establish a decent knowledge of what you're doing. And then that way you can apply it, and then you're going to have a healthier relationship with food, mm-hmm. which is then going to help you to then expand on that. So now we talk about these other concepts that might be a little more advanced, but guess what? If you go through the process and you understand on a very basic level how to approach nutrition correctly, then guess what? You know, you can experiment more in the future.
Now, those of you who are listening who do eat meat and have no problem with animal products, you can experiment with this.
Mm-hmm.
As long as, you know, you don't have, there are certain medical conditions and they're not very common. They're quite rare, where you do have to watch, you know, things like saturated fat and cholesterol, but most of us are okay with it. Increase your cholesterol intake and watch how your performance increases. And of course, increase it from things like organ meats and egg yolks. Those are probably the best sources. But I'm going to talk about one more study. This was a study that kind of blew me away. So researchers from A&M University took three groups of healthy individuals between 50 and 69, and they went through 12 weeks of resistance training. So an older age group
mm-hmm.
who went through about 12 weeks of exercise. One group ate less than 200 milligrams of cholesterol a day, which was the old recommendation.
Okay.
Another group ate 400 milligrams, and then the third group ate 800 milligrams of cholesterol a day. The high cholesterol group gained 250% more strength than the low cholesterol
250%
group. More strength.
Holy
they gained,
shit.
They gained more than double the amount of strength than the low cholesterol. So the people who ate 200 milligrams had less than half the strength gains than the ones eating 800 milligrams.
So crazy.
And all health, by the way, they were testing other health parameters. And not only was their diet, their blood cholesterol not really affected, their good cholesterol went up. The people who ate the most cholesterol.
Wow.
And they crushed them. Reading that study, I read some more interesting information that I did not even know. This is what I love doing about this, is it leads me down this web of like information.
Yeah.
I start reading,
it
starts learning.
Opening in the box, huh?
So did you know that there's research that shows after an intense workout, your blood cholesterols immediately drop. And then as you eat cholesterol, they come back up to normal. So it's like your body's utilizing that cholesterol. And cholesterol is important in making hormones, but it's also important in getting cells to adapt. And so right after a workout, cholesterol will drop immediately. And if you eat cholesterol throughout the day, this helps the recovery process. With that other study that I just had quoted, I forgot to tell you guys, those three groups ate the same calories.
Oh, wow.
They all ate the same calories. The muscle gain on them wasn't really that different. However, the strength was much higher. So the researchers basically concluded that most of the strength gains came from the central nervous system adaptation.
Hmm.
So if you're a strength athlete or you're in a weight class and you can't go up in a weight class, don't increase your calories, bump up your cholesterol. And you'll just get stronger.
Wow.
Because your central nervous system's going to be firing that much harder.
See, remember, this is what I told you guys. I told these guys when we first started doing it, I would love to for us to get some young athlete, like up and coming, and like just teach him nutrition and train him from the, like, early in his career. Like, I don't, so if you're listening to this and you're like 25, bro, it's too late. Sorry. I don't want you. I want a young, I want a young, ambitious, like high school kid who's like really like wrestling or MMA or something like that. Right. And teach him how to diet correctly and take care of his flexibility.
And use some of these things.
Oh yeah. And train him like from ground up. Ugh.
Oh, I would love it. And, you know, speaking, you know, as we're talking about this, you know, I know, Justin, you're a big fan, like I am, of the old time weightlifters old and strongman
stuff. Yeah, exactly.
What did they all tell you to eat? And all those
liver
old-time.
And cholesterol, right?
Lots of liver and eggs and heavy cream and
cream. Yeah.
What people don't realize is when you look at some of these old time strongmen, people like Arthur Saxon and Eugene Sandow, a lot of these guys were doing crazy strength feats into their 50s and 60s.
So awesome.
Dude. It wasn't just in their 20s and 30s. Yeah. And they were eating like all these heavy.
Because it lasts, man.
The strength was there for a long period of time. And I think, you know, now that we've changed the way people eat, you're starting to notice more of a decline in people as they age.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking they probably need to eat more of those foods.
I mean, yeah, it's starting to look that way, huh?
Yeah. So those old timers kind of, I think they knew a lot of what they were talking about. And like I said, I noticed a big difference myself.
Yeah. I mean, their physique obviously were different, but I think that, you know, they definitely had something right. If they're going to lift that much weight and sustain it.
They looked impressive, and this was forget steroids, this was pre-creatine.
Right.
There was no protein powders.
Yeah. No.
Like, they just ate food and lifted
weights.
Yeah, it was
just food and
did
pick something heavy up.
You got me all excited to do it, and you were asking me the other day, like, you need to do this, you need to start this. I have a plan already, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do, because this is, for me, like, I have my meals that I like to eat before my workout, and I've tested so many different meals, like, so my pre-workout meal, in a sense, that I eat at my breakfast spot is my, you know, 6 to 7 ounce steak. I've got two slices of wheat toast, a small bowl of fruit, and then egg whites that I eat every single morning before I go lift. And what I'm going to do, because now I'm in contest prep, when I get done with a show, it's perfect because I'm completely cleaned out. I've been very structured and systematic about what I'm eating and everything like that. Then the way I'm going to reverse diet out, I'm going to increase my calories through cholesterol.
Yeah, so cholesterol is in those saturated fats.
Yes, so that's how I know what it feels like to come out of a show. I know what it feels like to come out of a show, either going 100% clean, going to all kinds of food, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to inch it up by just solely using saturated fats, cholesterol, and see how I feel.
Oh, yeah, it'll be awesome.
And pairing that with the fact that I already know that coming off of that, like,
you're already anabolic.
Yeah, I already feel anabolic. I'm pretty excited to think like the possibilities where it could be, you know, hopefully I get the same effect that you got from it. In addition to already feeling anabolic, I'm pretty pumped to get to that point.
You know, as far, you talked about the whole wheat toast, as far as carbs is concerned, I've always told clients this. I've always said your carbs should match your activity. So, and for most of you, you're not that active. Even if you go lift weights at the gym 3 days a week.
No, not at all.
You probably don't need
a really small window of your day.
Yeah, you don't need tons of carbs. Now, if you go no carbs or super low carbs, you will experience a drop in athletic performance. So when I say low carb, you know, I'm talking, you know, like I said, matches your activity level. Now, I probably average around 200 grams a day, which isn't a lot, but it's also not nothing. And so I think if you match your activity level with your carbs to your activity level, then you're going to be okay. If you're an endurance athlete, you're obviously going to need more of those carbohydrates. So,
oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, so basically that's it. If, you know, do your own research, look it up yourself, guys.
Yeah. Check it out. They're groundbreaking stuff, man.
They're about to change their policy on cholesterols, and saturated fats are next. Mark my words. You'll see.
Well, this is what, nutrition guide number 2 or 3 that you're working on right now with all that. So that'll come out later. So
we're going to break it down.
We're crafting, baby.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.